Welcome to the weekly podcast from City Light Church in Lethbridge. For more teaching or to find out more about life at CLC, please visit our website at citylightchurch.ca.
I just want to say welcome to City Light Church, welcome to God's house, God's home, and welcome to the family of God. And you're here today and you don't have a family, a church family to belong to, we'd love you to be a part of our church family. So welcome once again. We're continuing in our series called, what's it called? Gear Up and Shift to Another Level in Your Life. And today I'm going to talk about shifting up your level of something so important in your life called love. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Father. Thank you for people here today. Thank you for your presence here today. Thank you that your power is here today. Thank you that we can hear truth, truth that sets us free, truth that opens up the pathway to our life and shows us how to walk in a way that magnifies your name, glorifies you, and blesses us. Father, help us to take this word that we hear and apply it to our hands and our feet today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. I want to talk to you today about the level of your love. Gear up, shift to another level, your level of love. And today we're going to look at a scripture. I would call it to be it's the scripture of all scriptures. To me, it's a classic scripture. It's been spoken of more than any other scripture. It's probably been preached about them more than any other scripture in the Bible. It's universally probably the most well-known scripture, you know, of the Bible, and yet it never gets tired, it never gets redundant, and it's found in John chapter 3, verse 16, which reads, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Amen. We're going to look at the first nine words of this scripture. We're going to kind of focus on them. And it says, God so loved the world that He, what? He gave. He loved us so much that He could not sit back and do nothing. His love caused Him to give. Right? I think perhaps one of the greatest things about God is not just that He loved. Perhaps the greatest thing about God is in His loving. Amen? And just like any other relationship that's meaningful or close, this is true. It's on your PowerPoint. This is so true. The measure of love in any relationship is the measure of giving in that relationship. Do you get it? Isn't that right? It's like the measure of love in any relationship is the measure of giving in that relationship. He loved us so much, right, that He gave. So He loved us so much, but we wouldn't even know His love unless He gave. Isn't that right? It's because He gave. When I met Karen, I really liked her. Almost like, by the way, my wife is in Portugal right now. She's there for another 3 weeks. This is an event she planned. She's with her sister, my sister-in-law, her sister. She's having a great time. She says hello. Okay. So I can talk all about her now, right? And nobody's going to tell. Yeah, so here we go. Let's just talk about Karen. I met Karen. First time I saw her, I thought, wow, I really like her. And I realized, you know what? I don't just really like her. I love her. And because of my feelings of love for her, I gave her stuff like my attention and my time. And I gave her gifts and I gave her flowers. And I gave her stuff like chocolate. You know, I did all these things for her. Every time we had a date, I would do stuff like I would take a shower. I would splash on Aqua Velva. Is anybody use Aqua Velva? I used Aqua Velva. I could use like a bottle within a month, you know, and I would splash it on. I was the classic Aqua Velva man. And I'd meet her, and she'd smell this nice guy that was nice and clean. You know, I wanted to give her my best, right? And, you know, and at that time I was single. I owned two cars. I had a Firebird Formula. I had a Corvette Stingray. It was a 74 Corvette. And every time I'd pick her up, I'd pick her up in the Corvette. And I'd wash that thing, and I'd vacuum it out, and so that I'd open a door for her. You know, I did all these things. See, my love for her made me give, right? That's the way that we love, we give. But, you know, there's something about love and the feelings of love. They fade. Love in any relationship will have the tendency to fade. Do you agree with me on that? Love fades. But the question is, why does love fade? You know why love fades? Love fades because giving fades. Love fades when giving stops. So we have to be totally aware that the only way to restore love in any relationship is to restore and to give back in that relationship. The Bible says, God so loved that He gave. I love the words of Mother Teresa here. She says this, when you know how much God is in love with you. Let's stop there for a second. Do you know that? It's truth. Do you know that God is in love with you? He loves you so much. He loves you more than you could ever believe. Mother Teresa says, when you know, when you start to realize how much God is in love with you, then you can only live your life radiating that love. See, love is an action. Love is a response. Love is as a reply. Right? It says here, God so loved us so much that what did He give us? He gave us Jesus. He gave us Jesus. Let me suggest to you, when anybody says yes to Jesus, the greatest thing that we can do to reflect that love back is also by giving back. Would you agree with that? So how do we do that practically? So you have this encounter with Christ and you say yes to Jesus. Now, so what do you do? You know, you receive His love. Now, so how do you respond practically back to that? You know what you do? The first thing you do is you get into His church. You become a part of the family. You get connected to God's people because that's where He wants you to be. Because He doesn't want you to be by yourself. He wants to bring you into His family. He wants to bless you. That's the first thing you do, is you come into the family. Another thing you can do is you get on a growth track. You start to grow. And you become less like yourself and you become more like Jesus, right? Who love people. Love God and love people. You do other stuff like you get into a small group. You start to read your Bible every single day and you try to apply what you read every day. You know, and in church, you get on a team and you serve people. And where can I serve people? Where can I be of help? Right? You're giving yourself. You're responding back to that love in that way. Listen, if we love, we serve. If we love, we care. If we love, we sacrifice. If we love, we notice other people around us. We're aware of other people. You know, when I came to Christ, I was a 28-year-old loner. Life was all about me, myself, and I. You know, but thank God that God never leaves us the way we are, right? He's always concerned that we're evolving, we're changing, we'll be transforming into the likeness of His Son. And so, thank God that God never left me alone. And I came into this church and I joined the church family, and then my pastor wouldn't leave me alone. In fact, God wasn't leaving me alone through my pastor, who wasn't leaving me alone. I understood that, right? And my pastor recognized I had just received Christ in my life, and the first thing he said, I've got this guy, he introduced me to a guy named Dennis. He says, Dennis is going to take you through this little mini, through this course called One-to-One. 5 weeks on growing in your walk and your faith with Christ. It's what's your next step? And then he'd do stuff like, he invited me to his small group. Become a part of my small group. And you know when I missed? He'd call me. Every time I missed, he'd call me. I stopped missing after about 2 times because I didn't want him to call me. Right? 7 o'clock or 8:30 or 9 o'clock, the phone rings. I know who it is, you know. Oh. He says, hey. He says, Doug, this is Pastor. Where you been? You know, missed you tonight. Oh, yeah, I was tired, you know. And you know, I'll be there next week. He was concerned about me. No, he took me on ministry trips. I was just a few weeks, a few months old in the Lord. Took me on ministry trips to Montana or to Calgary. And he'd get me to share my testimony to a crowd full of people I'd never met before in my life. You know, he did all these things and more. See, he loved me enough to care for me. You know, he cared for me. He loved me enough not to leave me alone. He knew that left by myself, I would just slide into this world of me, myself, and I. I would live in this world, this my own subdivision of me, myself, and I, of my own selfishness. And he wouldn't allow that to happen. You know, I want to admit to you that, you know, at that age, I was in my late 20s, and it was really hard for me because, you know why it was hard for me? Because I loved being by myself. I loved being with me. I was cool with me. You know, Doug loved Doug. And my favorite person to hang around with was me. You know? So, hey, I'm hungry. So, Doug, what should we do? What should we have tonight? Oh, let's have Chinese. Awesome. What a great idea. You know? See, I had no problem with me. I remember my pastor one day called me. And he said, Doug, I want you to lead my small group next week. Because I'm going away. I've got a trip next week. I want you to lead my small group. I said almost hesitantly, like, okay, but what do I do? He says, well, read your Bible and pray. And you know, God will give you something to share. And, you know, you just take over it. Just, you know, do what you think God wants you to do. I said, okay, you know. I don't know. It worked out okay, you know. But he got me leading his group. And then about a year and a half later, he said, Doug, I want you to lead your own small group. And I want you to connect people who are not connected. You know, my pastor challenged me in almost every area of my life. He would just not leave me alone. And his messages, every Sunday I'd listen to these messages and I thought, oh God, challenging me again. But he challenged me personally. He challenged me to give, to tithe, 10%. I remember asking him, well, Pastor, does that mean 10% of what's left over after all my bills? He said, no. Does that mean 10% after, you know, is that a net after taxes? No, 10% of your growth. I said, okay. Okay. You know, was he doing that for his benefit? No, he wasn't doing that for his benefit. He was doing that for my benefit. He cared enough. He loved me enough to care. He knew I would never be more like God until I learned to give my life away, to be a giver. Amen? Proverbs chapter 11, 24. This is the message version. The world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. In other words, life is not just about you. His call is larger and larger for you, not smaller and smaller. He calls you to a larger life than even the life that you're living right now. He saved you to save others. He reached you to reach others. You know, my pastor knew if I lived a selfish life, if I lived a selfish life, and I could not be something bigger, something larger than myself, well then, how would my marriage work? Right? How would my friendships work if life was all about me, myself, and I? What kind of friend could I have? How would my job work? How could I work in a decent job if I didn't realize that life was more than just about me? Amen? See, he knew I would never find fulfillment in my life until I was able to give my life away to other people. It's as simple as that. The Apostle Paul knew that too. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. He said to young Timothy, command those who are rich in this world, rich in this present world, not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything just for our needs. Is that right? What did he say? For our enjoyment. You know, I read that and I thought, wow, there is freedom in that scripture. There is freedom. What God is saying? It's okay to have things. It's okay to have a Volkswagen, what's it called? Touareg? So, you know, it's okay to enjoy things. It's okay to enjoy things like a grande triple pump peppermint latte at Starbucks, right? Instead of your small Tim's. No, I love Tim's too. It's okay to have an hour-long relaxing massage. Or it's okay, girls, to have your nails done. Or it's okay to have season's tickets at the Hurricane, with the Hurricanes. Or it's okay to go on a vacation to Hawaii. It's okay to enjoy things. The problem is when the things have us, right? And that's why Paul tells us. He tells us in verse 18, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous, and be willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the age to come, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. True life is not about you getting ahead of everybody else. True life is not about getting. True life is about giving. It's in the giving that we find true life. Can you see that in the Word of God? You know, and that's just the way it is and the way it operates in the kingdom of God. The world tells you to get ahead, you got to get everything for yourself. And Jesus says, you got to give things away. It's counterculture, isn't it? It's the kingdom of God. And it works, doesn't it? Today I'm going to finish off this message on how to make the most of your life. I heard this incredible message by this Italian guy, Dino Luzzi from Birmingham. And I thought, he gave about 5 points. I'm going to give you 3 points that I think that will really help you to make the most of your life. Are you ready? Here's the first point. How to make the most of your life. Live your life to be a steward of all that God has given you. Live your life to be a steward of all that has been given to you. I'm not the owner. I'm the steward. God has given me time, talents, gifts, abilities, income. Is it for me? No, that's so that I could be a steward. Right? So that could be a steward. We have been blessed in order to be a blessing to others. You know what steward means? In the Greek, it means, actually, it's the word oikos or oikonomos. It means, it's actually means pipeline, channel. It means it's an empty pipe that the blessings of God, the power, the provision, you know, all the good things of God flows through the steward, and it flows to people who need it and need to be blessed by it. That's who we are. We're stewards. We're pipelines of the blessing of God to other people. But here's the thing. We get to enjoy a lot of it while it's going through us, right? Isn't that? We get to beg the best of two worlds. We get to enjoy it and we get to give it away. What a blessing of God. I want to say the only way And the only way that you're going to be a steward is if you plan to be a steward. You can't walk out of this room and say, okay, I haven't lived my life that way, so I'm going to be different. From now on, I'm going to be a steward. It just doesn't happen that way. It takes a plan. You got a plan to become a steward. And here at City Light, we have a plan to help people steward their life, their gifts, their talents, their abilities, for income, for the cause of Jesus Christ. We're not going to leave you alone, because God doesn't want to leave you alone. Here at City Light, our goal is to move people forward. And we want everybody to move forward. It's an all-in call for everyone to be involved so that we all together, we make a difference together. Amen? What would happen if we all decided, I want to be the hands of Jesus? We could turn this city upside down just with the people we have in this room right now. We could do it. In this life, God has blessed us with so, so much. You know, if you live in Lethbridge, Alberta, you live in Canada, statistics will tell you that you and I, we live in the top 3-5% of the richest people in the world. Even the person who has, maybe you're on unemployment because because you're not working right now, you're still in the wealthiest of the wealthy of the world. You know that? So we've been given so much, but it's not just for us, is it? You know, maybe you're thinking, well, I really don't have much, but I want to tell you, there's always someone less fortunate than you. And you always have something to give. Amen? You always have something to give. In Proverbs 11:24, we'll take that verse, and when you read it in the Message or the NIV version, it says, one person gives freely and yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly but comes to poverty. And it says, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Well, don't you want to be refreshed? Isn't it great when you do something and you just do it? It's a bit of a sacrifice. And all of a sudden, something just good happens to you after that. God is saying, listen, you can't outfresh God. You can't outgive God. You start giving, you start blessing other people. You start serving other people. You start caring other people about other people. You start noticing other people. All of a sudden, blessings come into your life. Provision comes to your life. Something, good things happen. It's like God sees you doing that. I said, okay, pour my blessing, pour more into him so you can give more away. Amen? That's the way it works in the kingdom of God. So number one, live life to be a steward of all that God has given you. Amen? Amen? Number two, live your life to be a sample of God's love. Live your life to be a sample of God's love. Every act of kindness, every gesture can be a sample to someone that says to that person, God, you matter to God. You matter to God. Here's the truth. Next point. People matter to God. People matter to God. I want to be very honest with you. Oh, thank you, Rick. I've got two now. Yep, thank you. But thank you so much for noticing. You know, in my prayer times, I'm always praying for the church and praying for myself, and maybe just like you do too as well. And sometimes you pray and you think you hear from God, and then you wonder, was that really God? Did that ever happen to you? Sometimes I've prayed and I've heard from God, but I'm not really sure I've heard from God. But I want to tell you, there's one thing as a Christian, as a believer in Christ, and as a pastor, that I prayed and God has spoken to me so clearly that there's absolutely no doubt in my mind he said this to me. And he said this, people matter to me. People matter to me. The poor, the rich, the single, the families, the blended families, the person fighting addiction, the person struggling with their sexual identity, the person suffering from depression, trying to get out of it. They all matter to me. But you know, that's not all that God said to me. There's more. He says, but it's not enough that they matter to me. They need to matter to you. They will only know me if you are a sample to them. Through your acts of kindness, through your caring, you are a sample of my love to people. You know what? I want to tell you a story. True story. This is probably about a year ago. I went to my favorite store. And it's the place where they serve samples. Do you know where that is? Costco, of course. And I remember just really hungry. It was in the afternoon. And I love the samples, right? I just go from table to table looking for the, that's the first thing. I wonder what kind of samples they have, right? Before anything I've got to buy, I almost forget what I'm going to buy. And so I remember going past this first sample table and there's this lady, she's selling not tortilla chips. And I look at these tortilla chips, got some salsa on there, and she says to me, sir, would you like to try a tortilla chip? I said, nah, not really, because in my mind I'm thinking, I want that chicken wing up there. I want that pot sticker. I want that big piece of juicy sausage. That's what I want, you know? Then she says, but sir, these are not ordinary tortilla chips. These are kipasa. I thought, kipasa? She says, sir, these are whole grain kernel corn, and they are ground. They are ground with real volcanic lava stones straight from the mountains of Quintero, Mexico. Well, I didn't say Mexico. I just used that for emphasis. But she says, and they're hand-cut, and they're made the old-fashioned way, and they're gluten-free, and they're organic, and we got this salsa. It's delicious. It's organic signature salsa from Costco. You would love it. Now would you like to have one, sir? And I thought, wow, what, put it that way? Yeah, I'll try one now. And so I took one of those tortillas, loaded up with that organic signature salsa. I popped it in my mouth, and I took a crunch, and I took another crunch, and wow, this burst of fiesta flavor floods my mouth. I thought, wow. She says, sir, would you like to have another one? She says, yeah, I'll have another one. And I ate this other one. I said, where can I get the stuff? She says, oh, right back there, sir. It's all back there. So I walk right to the end, and there's this wall. Go back. There's this wall of kipasa chips back there. And so I grabbed the bag, and it wasn't this, it was like a big bag. And I found the 2-pack of salsa, signature salsa. I brought them home. Actually went on Friday. I got some more, you know. And I thought, wow, this is the best tasting tortilla chip I've ever had in my life. And I thought, you know what? If we ever went into a deep recession and there was a food shortage and people were emptying the shelves, I'd get in my car and I'd zap over to Costco and fill my trunk with kipasa tortilla chips. Amen? You see? I got hooked. And all it took was a sample. Just one taste. You know what the Bible says in Psalm 34? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Just one taste and people's lives will be changed forever. That's all it takes. Amen? All it takes. See, people just need to get that taste. We can all be a sample. Every hour we serve, Every time we volunteer, every time we smile, every time we greet, every time we notice someone, every time we care, every time we give out of our pockets to help someone, every time we do that, it's saying to someone, God loves you. God loves you, and He's loving me, loving you through me. Amen? Every time we do that, every act of kindness, inside the church, outside the church. So here's the challenge. So let your time, let your talents, let your caring, let your noticing, let your serving be a sample to people of God's love. Say amen. Amen. One more. This is really quick. Number three, live your life to be an invitation to church and to Jesus. God can use your life to be an invitation to someone who was broken and hurting and suffering. And you do that through your words. You do that through your serving. You do that through your caring. You do that through your, you know, just being aware of other people. And this is so true. Many people are just one invitation away from Jesus Christ. Just one invitation. You know, I've seen it happen so much. You know, somebody can be so far from God. They can be so far from God. And there's something in their heart. See, every person has something in them that God put in them when He made them. It's called eternity. It's a sense that deep down, there's something beyond this life. There's something I need in my heart that can only be filled divinely. And it can't be from any people or any relationship or anything I get in my life. It's something that's beyond that. It has something to do with God. It's spiritual, right? And when somebody responds to an invitation, their heart can be so far away from God. I've seen that happen. And there's this big God between them and Jesus. But when they come into this atmosphere, and God's Spirit starts to work on them, it's amazing how this gap, whoosh, just closes so quickly between them and Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the power of God. Some would be so far, but they can be close to Jesus almost instantaneously when the Spirit of God moves upon them in a place called church. And it only happens when somebody invites Him. See, you are His people. You are His people. See, God reaches people through His people. God invites people through His people. Amen? You know, through our invitation, through our love, our care. There's this dynamic, this tension between being a believer and reaching out to others that we have to deal with, every single one of us. And we have to be honest about and say, God, help me to be an inviter. Help me to be a bringer. Help me truly to care about the souls of men and women beyond my own selfishness. Amen? I'm speaking the truth, aren't I? You are His people. And there are people out there that are so dark. They're so desperate. And God loves them. And God deeply cares for them. So here's my challenge. Let's be those people. Let's be those people. Let's live life to be a steward of all that God has given us. Amen? Let's be a sample of God's love. And let's be an invitation to people, to church, and to Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Father. I'm going to pray a prayer. I wrote out every single word. And I believe this is a prayer that every one of us, God wants us to agree with. So we just bow our heads. You can pray this prayer after me. Okay, are you ready? Father God, Lord Jesus, let me live my life in such a way that I give, that I care, that I notice, that I live in a way that my life is an invitation to people to come and meet Jesus. Lord, you gave me your son. So now help me to be your hands and feet that reach, that give, that sacrifice, so that people can meet and have an encounter with the living Christ. And if you agree with that prayer, say, Amen. In Jesus' name, Amen. Amen. You've just been challenged, folks. Now it's up to you to respond. Right? Amen? Amen. Just keep your heads bowed for just a couple minutes here. You know, just repeat that scripture in Psalm 34, verse 8, where it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, you may be here today, and you've never tasted the goodness of God before. I want to tell you, God wants to have a relationship with you through His Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, and He paid for your sins. God wants you to know that no matter what you've done in life, no matter what sin you've committed, God will forgive you today. And God invites you to this relationship with Him. He invites you into a family. He wants to give you the gift called eternal life in heaven, so that when you die and you leave this earth, you know you're going to be with God for every eternity. But you know, in this life, He promised to give you life. Way better life than you're experiencing right now. It's called the abundant life. And it only comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ. So today I'm going to invite you to bow your heads and to repeat this prayer to Jesus Christ, and it will change your life forever, for eternity. So are you ready for that prayer? In fact, I want every single one of us to loudly say this prayer out after me. Are you ready? Let's pray. Let's pray this prayer to Jesus. Jesus, I believe that you died, that you shed your blood on the cross to pay for my sins. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I ask you to come into my heart. I ask you to be Lord and Savior of my life forever. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. I want to say, if you said that prayer for the very first time and received Jesus into your heart, I want you to raise your hand and hold it up and just wave it. Anybody here, just hold, wave your hand. Yeah, I see your hand. Thank you. Anybody else? I see that hand. Thank you. Anybody else? Raise your hand. Receive Christ into your heart today. All right. Thank you, Father. And the ushers are going to greet you. We have a special gift for you. Wow. Thank you for joining us today. You know, like I said, you receive Christ. You become a part of His family. God, you put you on this process of growth and love and care. You know, God has good things for every single one of us. Amen.